The talk you're about to listen to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org.
It's just really loud. I'm loud. So I was worshiping, and I'm like, who thought this was a good idea to have me talk on my last crew year? Tears are already flowing. But I believe that there's something that the Lord wants me to say, and so we're gonna get through it together. So before I begin, I just want to say thank you to John Fuller, and I want all of you guys to give him a hand, because each week we have these incredible slides, and John Fuller puts a lot of time putting them together. And for those of us speakers that are technologically, is that right, challenged, it's really nice to be able to just like pass off the things that I need on a slide and have him work his magic and put them there. So thank you, John, for putting together our slides this past semester. We really appreciate it. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about my love for Scripture. I don't know if you've ever been like reading through a book and they tell a story and you're like, how did this person know my life? I was reading an article that was written by Bill Bright, who's the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, the founder of CRU. And he writes this story. He says, there's a story told of a young woman who heard of a popular novel. Intrigued, she began to read it, but found it difficult to understand. She would read it for a while, then she would put it down, then she'd pick it back up again whenever one of her friends told her how much she was enjoying it. But no matter how she tried to immerse herself in the book, it just did not hold her interest. Then, one day, she met the author. Eventually, she fell in love with him. Now, she could hardly wait to read his novel. And this time, she found it to be the most captivating and exciting book she had ever read. I was reading this article by Bill Bright, and as I read these words, I was like, this is my story. Because you see, I grew up in a community surrounded by friends and family who loved this book, the Bible. And I would study it with them on Sunday mornings, and I would walk into my mom's room or into the kitchen in the morning before I left for school, and I would see her reading the Bible and taking notes from it. I memorized stories from the book. I actually learned songs. A lot of them had nice, nifty little hand movements to go with it that told stories from this book. And as I got older, I was taught and I heard of these things called Devo times, where you were supposed to do what I saw my mom doing. You would sit at the kitchen table or sit in your bedroom and you would pick up the Bible and you would read it and try and study it for yourself. And so I would try and have my own Devo time. And in high school, I went to groups where this book was studied. Because of all the memorization I had done growing up, I knew all the stories, I had songs to go with the stories. I was really able to readily participate in the conversations and answer a lot of questions that were asked at that time. I had a lot of experience in and around this book that everyone around me seemed to devour and love. But if I was honest, which I never said out loud, but if I was honest, this book never made much sense to me at all. It seemed to, every time I tried to pick it up for my Devo times, it just seemed like a mess of words and confusing, and it seemed dull. Like the girl in the story, I found that I had an on-again and off-again relationship with the Bible. And really, most of the time, it was motivated. My times that I would get into the Bible were motivated by two things. Either one was fear. I don't know if any of you can relate, but growing up, I had this fear of, I believed in heaven and hell, and I wanted to be in heaven. And so, you know, I was told that this book had the answer to that. And so I was driven to it out of a fear that I did not want to spend an eternity in hell. And I was also motivated by perfection. I was driven by what I thought was expected of me. So I was driven to this book because I thought that in here were the words that would show me what was wanted from me. And here was how I could prove that I was worth something. I don't know if any of you can relate to that, but eventually, for me, living up to everyone's expectations, being consumed by this blanket of fear, became exhausting. It took a toll on my life, and there was a moment my senior year in high school where I had had enough. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do and be who I wanted to be. And so for me, it was perfect timing that when this kind of exhaustion came, because I was about to leave for college. I was about to come to Westchester University, and it meant a clean slate, a fresh start. It was time for a break, and I remember I had a night where I was sitting in my room doing my quote-unquote Devo time, and I talked to the Lord, and I said, God, I'm just going to push you aside for the next 4 years of my life, and I'm just going to go and do my own thing. I don't want to be the good girl. I don't want to be the perfect daughter. I don't want to be the perfect friend. I don't want to be the perfect Christian. I'm tired of praying every night that you would forgive me of my sins so that I would be in heaven and not in hell. I just was exhausted. And honestly, I left for Westchester that way. Those were my plans going into school, was just to kind of do my own thing, figure out who I was. But the barriers that I set between me and God, just like in every romantic comedy, okay, the story that Bill Bright about the young woman who fell in love is similar to a romantic comedy. And just like in every romantic comedy, the barriers that are in between the guy that wants the girl, they don't matter. He will jump over the barriers. He will push through them. He will do whatever to get the girl that he loves. I experienced that in God's pursuit of me. The barriers that I placed did not stop his pursuit of me. My first day at Westchester, my RA, Laura, confessed out loud, which I thought was absolutely insane, because you don't confess your love for the Lord out loud. She confessed her love for Jesus, and she told us that he loved us too. And throughout my first week, I really bonded with Laura in other contexts of things, and out of desperation for friends, as I'm sure all of you, if you can think back to your first week, your freshman year, you just want to be known and you want to meet people. And so out of my desperation to meet people, I ended up at a weekly meeting very similar to this one here that you're at tonight. And it was soon after that that I, like the woman in the story, fell in love. I fell in love with the author of this book. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I wasn't looking for it. I didn't ask for it. Obviously, I actually pushed him away, didn't want to have anything to do with him. But my roommate had gone home for the weekend, which for those of you that live with a bunch of roommates, when you have a weekend with the room to yourself, you are going to take advantage of that. And so I did. I had my Christmas lights. We had the Christmas lights strung across the room because ambiance matters. So I turned my Christmas lights on. I had one of those, I don't know if these still exist, but they were like those chair beds that flip out into a single bed. So if you had your friends over for the weekend, they could sleep there. I pulled out my chair bed into the middle of the room to consume as much space as possible. I cranked up my music. And honestly, that's the last thing I remember of the plans that I had for that weekend. Probably got bored quickly, because really, as much as we think we want to be alone, who really wants to be alone? But I got bored, and I do remember I pulled out a booklet that Laura had given me. Looks like this. And she had given it to me, and for some reason I had brought my Bible to school, so I took out my Bible, I dusted it off, I grabbed a journal and a pen, and I opened up this booklet, and I started reading it. And as I read, if you can put this scripture up here, this scripture is in here. It says, it's from John 10:10. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I read that and I thought, life. I'm craving life right now. I was really lonely. I was wondering what life was all about. Abundant life. That sounds really good. Then I read on. It says, John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I read it again. Because I thought, without me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. Who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. I didn't understand. It was confusing. So I opened up my Bible and I started to read what came before and what came after that. I opened up to verse 4, chapter 15, verse 4, and it says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Abide, my version of the Bible that I was reading at that time, it said, remain in me and I will remain in you. Abide means to remain, to not to depart. And at the moment I read this, for the first time in my life, I felt like I might understand what this is saying. These words might not be so confusing as I thought. And I thought to myself, is that it? Is it really that simple? Remain in me, abide in me, and I will abide in you. I'm not sure, I might have said it out loud because I was alone, I'm not sure, but I kept saying, really? Is that it? Really, Jesus, is that all that you ask of me? And as I said that and as I read the passage over and over again, you have to remember that my whole life I felt like I needed to live up to someone's expectations. I needed to prove myself. I needed to pray every single night that the Lord would save me and that he would forgive my sins. I needed to be the perfect Christian. I needed to do all these things. So this idea that all I needed to do is abide in Jesus and that he would abide in me and that that's all that he asks of me felt completely out of the ordinary. And as I read that passage and again and I asked those questions, I felt a confirmation. It was like Jesus was saying to me through the words of this book, through those words in the Bible, no expectations, Jen. I did it all for you. Just stay with me. That's all I ask. For the first time in my life, I felt like I could really be in a relationship with Jesus without working to prove myself. That all God was asking of me was to abide in his son. That's it. And that's all it took, guys. I was hooked. I fell in love with the author of this book at that very moment. I fell in love with my Savior, Jesus, who took, at that moment, I recognized that he took all of my sins and that he lived that perfect life for me that I was trying so hard to live. And he was actually giving me permission to stop trying so hard. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. I felt that night like the Lord took me to the exact, I mean, there are thousands of words in this book, and I felt like he took me to the exact words that I needed to hear. He knew my heart. He knew my intentions, that literally, the words of the Bible seemed to come alive that night for the first time in my life. I met the author and I believed him, and he used his words to speak to my soul. And as he did that, guys, I found myself craving to know more. I wanted more of this thing that seemed so dull and confusing to me before. Psalm 119 verses 97 and 103 says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to the mouth. I felt like that. I was devouring, drinking in his word. That very night, I took this little booklet and I leafed through everything and I wrote down everything and I highlighted it all and I wrote through all the scriptures and I actually ran down to Laura's room, knocked on her door, and I was like, Laura, I get it. It makes sense. I understand this thing that I've never understood before. My question to you is, are the words in this book sweeter than honey to your soul? Have you ever experienced them as living and active? And do you allow them to pierce your soul to the deepest parts? If they don't, if they never have, or if you aren't sure, I really encourage you to ask God to reveal himself to you. He is the author of these words, and he wants you to know him. And God is in the business of revealing his name. If you turn to me to the book of John, turn with me to the book of John. Chapter 17 in John is probably one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. That could change, but it's one of my favorites. In the last few chapters of the book of John, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his crucifixion and what is going to happen. After spending many hours with them over the course of his ministry, he begins to pray for them. And chapter 17 is his prayer to the Father for his disciples and for the people that are going to know him after his disciples. In verse 26, the very last sentence that he prays, he says, Father, I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. God desires, Jesus is part of his ministry, he says, I have made known to them your name. God desires to reveal his name to us. He desires to reveal his name to you. Have you guys ever really stopped to like really ponder that? This idea that the creator of the universe, like the creator of everything that your eyes could ever capture, the creator of every single person in this room, the complexities that come with all of that, that he desires for you to know him. And he says all throughout scriptures, this is just one little verse, but all throughout it, he talks about his desire to reveal his name to his people. He loves you so much. He loves us so much. And that is what was happening to me that night in my dorm room. God was revealing his name to me. And at the same time, as I've been learning and as I've fallen for him and I've fallen for his scripture, because I've learned and I recognize that he has revealed his name, and in that moment he revealed his name, but there is so much more to be revealed, so much more to learn, so much more to know. Think of it, one of the most exciting things when you get to know someone, whether it's a friendship or it's a relationship, a romantic relationship, is that you have this opportunity to like peel back the layers of who they are. We get to spend time with each other. We get to ask each other questions. We get to experience each other's quirkiness and even the annoyances that we have. We get to learn about where we came from and why we think about things that we do. We are complex beings, and we have lots of layers, like an onion. You get to peel them away. And there's something really exciting about that. When you love someone, you want to spend time with them. You want to dig deeper. You want to know what makes them tick. Why do they think what they think? Why do they do what they do? You cannot wait to spend time with them, peeling back those layers and getting to know them. This actually happened with me, with my staff team, our staff that are here. For a lot of us, we've been working together now for the past 4 years. And the first year that I met everyone, I remember our first time at Raystown, we're just kind of all getting the lay of the land and figuring each other out and just kind of getting to know each other. But as the years went by, so the first year, the second year, the third year, the fourth year, we get to spend so much time together that we learn these really quirky things that you just wouldn't know if you didn't spend this much time with people. So for example, and I warned them that I was going to do this, but for example, Ed Hanna, okay? I know. We all love Ed Hanna, okay? Ed Hanna, you guys, I think the other day was called Two Vikings Put Together. That's who Ed Hanna is. But did you guys know that Ed Hanna cannot hates to lick his fingers when he's eating food and hates watching other people do that. So Ed Hanna, who also loves wings, will sit there with a huge pile of wings next to an even bigger pile of napkins because he will not lick his fingers as he's eating wings. That's one thing that I've gotten to discover about Ed. Tom, I've got to live, I don't know how many, I'm going to reveal something about me. I don't know how many of you know that Joanna Spurlick is my cousin. My mom and her dad are brother and sister, and so this year I got the pleasure to live with Joanna and Tom. And something I discovered about Tom is that Tom, I mean, you might know this, he loves sugar, but Tom loves sugar. So we're getting ready for staff meeting. I'm in getting my coffee, getting my breakfast one morning, and he comes in to the kitchen, and he opens up the refrigerator door, and I am not a morning person, and so we are not even talking to each other, and he opens up the refrigerator door, pulls out a can of whipped cream and just goes and just sprays it in his mouth. And I'm just like looking at him. This is at the beginning of the year. I didn't know his love, how deep his love for sugar went at that point. And that was his morning's breakfast. That was kind of a common thing. So you get to learn the quirky things and you fall in love with them as you get to know more and more of them. It takes time. It takes spending time around people to get to know that. You also get to know really incredible, beautiful things. Joanna is my cousin. We have grown up with each other. I've gotten to know her. We were great friends growing up. But we've had an incredible opportunity to get to be on the same staff team and work together. And something I learned about Joanna during my 4 years here is that this woman is incredibly resilient and that she will push through the fear of anything. She might have a fear of coming, maybe one of the scariest things for Joanna to do is to initiate with people every single day at the beginning of the year when we're doing gathering surveys. She's an introvert. It's exhausting. But I have seen her push through that and never once complain. And I've seen her love people in that and never once complain. I am in awe and have learned and observed and watched Joanna's willingness to step through fears that she has and to grow in those areas through her time here. So you get to learn the quirky things, you get to learn the really beautiful things, and as we learn these things about each other, as we spend time with each other, and we discover the complexities of our layers, of our beings, of who we are, we fall even more in love, right? The more you get to know, the more you fall in love. I've heard many of my Mary friends talk about the beauty of this over the past few years, that one of the most exciting things about being married is that you get to this adventure of spending a lifetime of discovering the ins and the outs and the complexities of this person and knowing them better than anyone on earth knows them, knowing them better than they know themselves sometimes. God, guys, if we are complex beings and we get to spend an entire lifetime discovering the ins and outs of each other, how much more complex is the God that created us? And how much more do we have to discover about the ins and outs of the God who has created us? If you look at that prayer again in John 17, Jesus promises, he doesn't just claim that I have made your name known, but he says, I will continue to make it known. I will continue to make your name known. This promise is fulfilled through the redemptive act of the cross, where he ultimately glorified the Lord, but it's also a future active promise where he says this is the perpetual mission of Christ through the Spirit to continue for the rest of your lives. You get to discover more and more about the glory of God's name. He promises this, and if you look at chapter 16, if you flip back one, verses 12 through 13, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. It's like too much for you to be able to handle. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Jesus is saying to them, I have so much more to say to you, so much more to discover. And so I'm going to give you the Spirit of truth when I leave, and he will be your guide. There's something really cool in the scripture. So I want you to take out your Bible and follow through this with me. There's a direct correlation between the gift of the Holy Spirit and the word. If you flip to Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, we're going to do this really quick for the sake of time, but Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, it's setting up all of these rules of the Christian household. In verse 22, it talks about wives and husbands. And then it goes on to talk about slaves with their masters. And then it goes on, and that's in chapter 6, verse 5. And then it goes on to talk about children with their parents. Or maybe it's, yeah, children and their parents in verse 1 of chapter 6. And then it goes on, slaves and their masters. Ephesians and Colossians, these two letters that were written by Paul, parallel each other. Okay, so I'm going to show you the parallel. So flip, keep your thumb there, but flip over to Colossians, which is one book over. Colossians chapter 3 does the same thing. It sets up the rules of a Christian household, and it talks about, in verse 18, wives with their husbands, verse 20, children with their parents, verse 22, slaves with their masters. Okay, and then if you go up just a little bit previously before that, in verses 16 and 17 of Colossians, we're going to read that. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay, so notice it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Remember that. Flip back to Ephesians. Right before it takes us through the rules of the Christian household in Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Do you guys see the parallel, the psalms, the spiritual hymns, that whole thing? That in Colossians, well, in Ephesians, where we are here, it says, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And in Colossians, it says, I just lost it now. And whatever you do in word or in deed, it says, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So let the word of Christ dwell in you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly is the command there. Be filled with the Spirit is the command in Ephesians. And this isn't just peculiar to Paul, this parallelism and the correlation. It's also, if you look at 1 Peter 1, 23, there's this idea of being born again. It says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and abiding word of God. And then if you flip over to John, the book of John, chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, they're talking again about being born again. So notice in 1 Peter, it talks about being born, living the abiding word of God. In chapter 3, verse 5, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Do you see the correlation between the Spirit and the word? It's like two wings of a plane. Same functions, different wings. Studying God's word, he desires to speak to us. Jesus says, I will give you your Spirit and he will guide, I will give you my Spirit and he will guide you into all truth. He desires to speak to us, to make his name known to us. And he does that through his Spirit and through his word. Studying the word of God is like peeling back layers to discover who God is. It is exciting and it is an adventure. in college, I took an inductive Bible study class, which just means that you spend time peeling apart the layers of the scripture and learning how to even study the Bible. And I was we were studying in John chapter 21, where Jesus comes back to Peter and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter answers him, and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter answers him again, and then he says, "Peter, do you even love me?" And Peter answers him again. And as we were studying that, we studied the Greek translation of the word love. And for the first time, you kind of wonder, okay, why does Jesus keep asking him if he loved him? But Jesus says, "Peter, do you phileo me?" And phileo means this, or and he says, "Peter, do you agape me?" Which is like the God, or no, I'm sorry, I'm messing this up. He says, "Peter, do you phileo me?" Which is like the friendship kind of love that we have with each other. And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know I phileo you." "Peter, do you phileo me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I phileo you." And then he says, "Peter, do you even," I just messed that up again. He says, "agape me." And then, "Peter, do you even phileo me?" Agape means this God deep love, the love that God has for his kids. It's a different type of love. And so as you, I just totally screwed that up, but as you go and you study, I'm like nervous about the timing right now, as you study the Greek and that you learn how to really dig into the scripture, it unlocks these doors that you never knew were there. And it gives you a whole new understanding that there's layers of love that you can know and learn. It's beautiful and it's exciting, and when you get a taste of it, you want to know more. And as you know more, you fall deeper in love. And as you fall deeper in love, you want to know more. And it's this incredible kind of cycle, but that takes you deeper into the depths of the love of the Lord. So guys, as I thought about, this is my last time here consistently. Hopefully I'll be back, but my last time here, and what I wanted to leave you with, and even sending you off into your summers, those of you here that are graduating, sending you out into the world, out to your the next chapter of your life, I wanted you to know that God loves you so much that he reveals his name to you, that he desires to reveal his name to you, and that he will continue to do so through his word. And that as you are in a relationship with him, my desire for you is to embrace this exciting adventure of falling in love with the Lord through the scripture, of studying his word, of discovering the depths of what there is to know there, to know beyond what you maybe ever knew existed, and to really be rooted in the love that the Lord has for you. So if you're here, the last thing I want to say, if you're here and you're questioning even, what do I believe about this Bible, about this book here? Is it really the word of God? Does it really have the authority that I'm saying that it has? I really urge you to spend time answering that question, because what you believe about this book will radically change your understanding of who God is, how you view him, and it will radically change how you live your life. That is one of the most important questions that you can answer for yourself. So I encourage you, if that is you and you're here tonight, take time this summer to ask that question. There are great books out there, great articles. Everystudent.com has some great answers, and places where you can go and begin to find answers to that question for yourself. If you're here and you have experienced the living active part of this book, dig into it. Take time this summer. Read books. Get involved in a Bible study. Read this book. Love it. Get to know your Savior and get to know him at depths that you didn't even know existed before. So let me pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you do desire to reveal your name to us, and that you're so complex that we get to spend our entire lives discovering more and more of who you are, and that it is this exciting adventure. I pray that this summer and for the rest of our lives, that you would be revealing and guiding us through your Spirit into the depths of this word. Pray that we would listen, that we would come before you, and that we would experience your relentless pursuit of our hearts. Amen.
Just you. So for this last song, we just want to invite you guys to just worship God with your voices and with your bodies through clapping or dancing or however the Holy Spirit moves you, and just celebrating the wonderful things God has done this academic year in all of our lives. So take it away, Jack.
I wandered so aimless, a life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more the darkness, no more the light. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man, God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more the darkness, no more the light. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more the darkness, no more the light. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more the darkness, no more the light. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more the darkness, no more the light. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. So glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Yes, I'll fly away. I'll fly away. I'll fly away.
Give it up for the worship band. Woo. Good job. Wow. Yeah, give it up for the worship band, guys. All semester long, they've been doing amazing jobs up here, helping us praise God. That was awesome. Thanks so much. And thank you to everyone else who helps out too. Can we thank Chris in the back as well for doing such a good job on sound? And Tyler up front doing the slides. And don't forget Richie running back and forth, practicing his 40-yard dash doing the lights. Thanks so much. all right, well, you guys guessed it. You've heard it for 2 weeks. You better be prepared for this. I hope you brought your tissue boxes and snuggle up next to that cute boy next to you, because the tear ducts are going to be opening up. That's right. Yeah. So if you have no clue what I'm talking about, we're actually going to be bringing up seniors up here for the senior send-off. So seniors, come on up, and they're going to be giving you a little spiel something that they prepared, or maybe they're coming up with it on the fly, I don't know. Yeah, please welcome them up.
Everybody, my name's Kate. It's funny because I feel so honored and blessed to be with you guys tonight. The Holy Spirit really engraved it on my heart to share with you three things about what God has shown me and transformed me. One, God loves you because he loves you because he loves you. Jesus Christ manifests himself through the community, and God created us to glorify him and enjoy him forever. And for those of you that do and don't know me, 2 years ago, my sister Brooke passed away. And it was like I had just really started finding my identity in Christ and finding forgiveness and life in him. And I just didn't understand. There was just so much doubt and pain, and I just felt like I had to fix it. I just didn't understand. And God, because he loves me so much, because he loves me, he put all of you in my life. He put people like my wonderful fiance Tim in my life to say, I care more about your relationship with Tim than I do about our relationship. He put people like Jen Derlin in my life to say that there is good pain. He put people in my life like Tim Henderson to tell me God loves you because he loves you. And he uses all these people here, all my friends, my housemates, to tell me that. And there's just something briefly I want to share with you from the gospel, Isaiah chapter 43. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Please know that you are Christ Jesus. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as a ransom for you, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Guys, there are so many people who aren't part of God's family yet. Like, bring them here. Like, I wouldn't know Jesus in the way that I do without some of these amazing people that are here. And I love you guys so much. And it's strange because there's like tears of sadness, but just tears of joy that I'm going to get to celebrate with you all in heaven with Christ Jesus. So remember, God loves you because he loves you. Jesus Christ manifests himself through the community, and God created us to enjoy him and glorify him forever. Thank you so much, guys. I love you.
Hi, guys. My name is Ryan Mazaluski. The most important thing I learned here is to fill my heart with Jesus every day and to pour out his love to all the people around me. I experienced this love and community throughout my time here, and I wanted to share with you what a little of that looked like. When I first came here my sophomore year, before I even knew who Jesus really was, a man named Matt Dodds accepted me into his life, and he loved me, and he was my friend. One of his friends, Luke Hawk, also took interest in my life. Shortly after being introduced to Luke, he began to ask me meaningful questions about my life. Little did either of us know at the time, but Jesus was speaking to me through Luke and was bringing me into a relationship with himself. It was through both of these loving friends that I learned that there is a God who loves me for me and who died for my sins so that I wouldn't have to. Because these men loved me, a window opened in my life to commit my life to Jesus, and I did. I want to share with you a little of what my life looked like prior to Jesus being in my life. Around this time, 3 years ago, you would find me smoking pot, or sleeping with my girlfriend at the time, who I was selfishly using for sex, or further back in middle school and high school when I was taking acid, smoking pot, addicted to pornography and stealing money from my job. I am such a sinful man, but through Jesus' death on the cross, my sins are forgiven. All you need to do is accept Jesus into your life, and you'll be forgiven for all of your sin, everything in the past, in the present, and in the future. So I urge you tonight, if you do not know him, dedicate your life to him like I did 3 years ago. He loves you. He has such a wonderful plan for all of your lives. And for those who know Jesus, be that friend through which Jesus speaks through. Thank you, guys.
Hey guys, my name's Scott Humble. I'm gonna follow up what Kate said. I also, 4 years ago, the last 4 years have been living through a pretty intense family tragedy, just as Kate has. And I've had some great people here that I have been able to fall back on the 3 years that I've been here. And I really, really appreciate all those people that have been there for me in that time. And so I don't have any great spiritual truths to impart you with tonight, but just maybe some practical application. Like, get involved with Crew. There are some great people that want to be there for you. And on the flip side, you can be there for some other people. There are other people there that need you. But besides that, also get involved with some other stuff. Like, don't just hang out with Crew people. There are a ton of other people out here. Get involved with other clubs, organizations, people in your dorm floor, all that stuff. Like, get involved with other people, and those people might be looking for that friend too, somebody they can pour into their life, and you could just be that person to show them the light. So thank you for the 3 years I've been here. I'll actually be here next year on staff, so it's not quite goodbye for me yet, but thank you very much.
I still don't know what I'm going to say, really, but I don't know if y'all were here earlier in the year. I think it was last semester when I came up and Tim invited me to talk about something that has kept me captive for a really long time, and that is struggle with an eating disorder. And I'm happy to tell you all that on last Monday, April 18th, I declared that I am free from my eating disorder. And that's basically what God's done in my life, and it's been an incredible journey, and there have been women that he have put in my life, that he has put in my life to just, that have laid down their lives for me and to help me break free of the sin. And there are men and women around you, sitting around you right now, who are waiting to do that same thing for you. So I encourage you to do the same. And good luck to everyone. Love you all. Bye.
Oh my gosh, okay. This is a very, I don't even know what to say. We're very blessed here, very, very blessed. We have an amazing community of people who love you and will want to be in your life permanently because that's what they feel God has called them to do. And you're safe here. And something that I learned my 4 years here is that it's okay to show your true colors, even when they're scary. I didn't used to be that crazy girl sitting over here with my hair down and my arms flying in every direction. That wasn't me three, four, who knows. That wasn't me when I started college. And people here, these men and women standing around here, and some of you guys out here, I've learned incredible things from you and staff especially. And I love them dearly. Something that I've want to share with you is just don't be afraid of who you are. God loves you more than anything. He knows every beat of your heart, every scent of your nose. I'm trying to be poetic and Englishy, but it's it's not really working. But that's okay, because I love you all. Thank you for amazing 4 years, and you know, God bless.
Hey guys, my name's Tyler. Yep. So I'm not really feeling anything I was gonna say anymore. But I think just as I look back on my 4 years, I noticed that there were a lot of influences on my life. A lot of things that you can chase after. Each and every of us have a lot of influences just with being in this university and this setting. So I just would say take a step back and just really objectively consider what this life is all about. And I guess that kind of sums up everything I was going to say. But I had one verse I was going to look at. I'd say that I just live my life now as Psalm 119, where it says, Let me live that I may praise you, and may your law sustain me, as it says in Psalm 119. And I think I've discovered that life is in Christ. So I ask that you just all consider your life and where it lies in all this. So that's where I would leave you. And I love you guys. Thank you.
Hi, guys. I'm Lauren. Okay, so I just want to start off with a question of how many people have been soaking up the sun this past week, just by random applause or screaming or whatever? Okay, so now by the same applause or screaming, how many of you can describe and have memorized every detail about how the heat, the light, the orbit of the sun all work? You're strange, but that's all right. So I just wanted to share with you that it is possible, very, very, very possible, to love and enjoy something without knowing every detail. Loving and enjoying God is one of those things. So I just wanted to start out with getting up here today has been really, really hard for me because I struggle a lot with this feeling of unworthiness. And especially becoming a Christian, only my sophomore year, I felt, end of sophomore, kind of junior, kind of doing the whole like step at a time type of thing. Feeling unworthy is very much something that I struggle with. I was nervous that would other Christians want to be my friend if I had had all these things in my past? And if I had only just started to love Christ, would any men be able to see my godliness? Was I even good enough to be in crew? Those are things that I really, really struggled with, and getting up on stage and talking to you guys, even just hearing all these amazing people before me, wondering if I was worthy enough to say a senior moment. In one way or another, I'm pretty sure that all of us have felt timid in our faith and possibly unworthy. But God did not create us to feel this way or to be this way. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Do not be timid. Step forward and find your place. Share the gospel with your friends, whether they're in crew or outside of crew, anywhere. Become a discipler. Where is Emily? Yeah! join leadership in crew. Find your awesome place where you can serve God. You can do all of this because God has given you a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. You can do all things with the Spirit of God. So thank you guys. I love you so much. Thanks for all these great memories.
Hey guys, so I'm Tim. Some people call me T-Wime. Most people don't call me Tim, but so I didn't really know what to say because there's a lot of helpful things and you've all probably zoned out by now, but at least for me, one of the best things that I did while I was here in crew was, like Lauren said, be a discipler. And I wanted to encourage you guys to do that because it leaves behind a great legacy of men and women who just love Jesus and want to serve him. And, I mean, that's pretty cool. So I would encourage you guys to disciple. And I'm going to do that by reading off a discipleship chain, starting with people that were seniors when I was a freshman. And then eventually you'll probably start hearing names that you might know. And hopefully this will make you guys realize how awesome discipleship is and make you wish you were in one too. All right. So, seniors when I was a freshman were Mark Willard and Jeremiah Link. And then they discipled Andrew Brookhart, Steve Bowers, Ali Sohelian, and others. Then they discipled Tim Skiles, Sean Lewis, Matt Dodds, Mario, Snacks, Kelsey, and other people too. And then they discipled guys like me, Justin Celedonia, Tyler Hoover, Mike Johns, Rob Del Riego, Matt Van Buskirk, and Ryan Modzelewski. And then they discipled Josh Gonzalez, Fletch, Daryl, Galen, Christian Polito, Andrew Homage, Andrew Voorhees, Zane, Christian Jones, and Jeremy Hall. And then they discipled Frank Chang, Lan Ray, those two Keensan singers, Josh McGowan, and Nate Welker. And then they're discipling tons of freshmen. So you guys should all get out there and disciple, because it's great. And yeah, I love you guys. Thanks for 4 years. It's been a blast.
Hi guys, my name is Catherine Montag, and I remember being a freshman sitting there thinking, wow, I can't believe I'm going to be a senior 1 year up here giving a senior moment. And I was like, I'm so excited, and I can't believe it's actually here. Basically, what I really want to say is, for me, college has been a really definitive 4 years, and I think it really is for most people. You really have the freedom and the opportunity to be who you want to be, to choose what you want to define you, to choose how you want people to know you. And my challenge to all of you would, let that be Christ. Let that be Jesus to define you. There's so many things in college that you can get wrapped up in, whether it be sports, grades, friends, even groups, clubs, partying. My biggest encouragement for all of you would to be let Christ define you. Let Jesus radiate throughout you. Soak up all that Crew has to offer. Crew is a fantastic community. If it weren't for this community and these people sitting in this room, I have no idea where I would be right now. I mean, coming in freshman year, getting plugged in a Bible study, those girls are my best friends, and they will be for life. And I absolutely love them, and it's been such an influential 4 years in Crew. This community, the speakers, the staff that pour into you, invest their lives and their time and energy into you, is just phenomenal and such a pure representation of Christ and Christ's love for us. So soak in this community, but like Scott said, don't chill here and stay here forever. Go out into the campus and bring people here. That's what we're called to do. We're called to live for Christ and to be ambassadors for him in all the different people groups on campus. And there's over 40,000 people here, and a ton of them don't know Jesus. So bring them here, live radically for Christ, and thank you all for touching my lives and loving Jesus.
Hey guys, I'm Becca. Okay, good, you can hear me. So I'm the youngest here, and I thought it would be fitting to read from a children's book for you. So get ready. I'm excited, I love them. So this is from Dr. Seuss, Oh, the Places You'll Go. So here we go, and it's not all of it. So you will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're darked. A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. A place, oh, do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? And if you go in, should you turn left or right and three quarters, or maybe not quite? Or go around and sneak in from behind? It's simple, it's not, I'm afraid you will find, for a mind maker upper to make up his mind. But on you will go, through weather befoul. On you will go, though your enemies prowl. On you will go, through the hacking crack howls. Onward, up many, a frightening creek, though your arms may get sore and your seekers may leak. On and on you will hike, and I know you'll go far, and face up your problems, whatever they are. You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You know, or you'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you go. So be sure when you step, step with great care and great tact, and remember that life's a great balancing act. And so, guys, I just want to tell you that God gives us tons and tons of blessings, and he is God, so he has the power to give them, and he has the power to take them. And we've all, I think, seen that happen in the past 4 years while we were here. And so I just want to share this verse with you, and it's had a lot of impact on me. It's Jeremiah 33:3, and it says, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you the great and unsearchable things you do not know. And so, guys, when God takes things, let him take them. When he gives them, take them back. Like, be excited for that. And let him love you and go on a great adventure with him, because he wants to take you there. So that's it.
You see why we love our jobs? It is so much fun to work with you guys. Spurlick said last week how much the staff love working with the students, and we do. And I don't think there's anything particularly noble about that. You are a very easy group to love. We're going to miss you guys. And we're going to miss a handful of other folks, too. Let me invite, first off, Steve Bowers and Kristen Rackley to join us on stage, if you would. Bow wow, Kristen. Yeah, come on over here. Steve and Kristen have been interning with us and have just made such a huge contribution to the team, part of the fun that Jen was talking about, the team experiences, and of course, in so many of your lives. We want to say goodbye to you as we say goodbye to the staff. And let me also invite the seniors that are leaving that didn't speak here this evening, but want to come, please come and join us if you're graduating now. We would be remiss to not have you up here. So come on up. So many people that didn't share. We would have been here for a long time, but look at all the wisdom and experience and contributions and gifts here. These are, let me stand down here. These are the leaders of Crew. This is our all-star cast of women and men who have loved well and led well. So many people whose lives have been changed by Jesus. So many that are examples to us of what does it look like to surrender to Him and to let Him lead through us. So many here that have changed your lives. What I want to invite you to do, as is our tradition, is if you see someone on stage here who taught you the scriptures, who loved you, who shaped your life, who taught you about Jesus, who led you to know Him, join us on stage. We're going to pray and say goodbye to these friends. I knew you were going to come up. Need a bigger stage. Yeah, you'll pray.
Whoa. Okay, if we can all squeeze up here, I'm going to lead us in prayer to send off our seniors. So, Heavenly Father, we praise you for each man and woman that is standing up here that has spent anywhere from 1 to 7 years with us in Crew. We praise you for the ways that you have pursued them, the ways that you have changed them, the men and women that you have grown them to be. We praise you that you have given us the honor and the pleasure to be a part of their journey, to watch them discover the depths of your love. And Father, we our desire for them is that you would send them out full of your love, that you would send them out, men and women who will be lifelong laborers for you, who will have an impact for your kingdom, God, and that you would protect them, Father, that you would protect them from the evil one, that you would draw them into deeper understanding of who you are, knowledge of your word, knowledge of your love. We pray that your grace would surround them with every step that they take in the next chapter of their lives, Lord. Thank you so much for the pleasure of their presence in our lives. Thank you so much for the ways that they have poured out to so many men and women that are surrounding them right now. And Lord, the influence that they have had during their time here at Penn State. We praise you because your name is worthy and you are full of so much glory. Father, we praise you that we get to partake in that and that you shine that through us. We love you, we love these men and women, and we just pray that you would keep them in your care and go before them and bless them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Jane. All right.
sap.
T1. Oh,
thanks for 4 years.
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, come on. We need you guys to get off the stage. Tobin's like, roll this thing.
Hey, don't yell at us.
Okay. It's a marvel every year that we can survive, seriously, the loss. I'll just look at all these students that are leaving and that are gone. And it is a grievous loss year after year. And what that means for you, though, is it's an opportunity for you to step up and to lead as these ones have led well before you. We have one more goodbye tonight. One more. It's funny, when Jen was talking about the staff team and how well we know each other and love each other, we do, and we've had so much fun. We love you guys. We really do. But we might love each other more. And we play and laugh and have so much fun. And I was sitting in the back near Ed and Huff when Jen started telling secrets. And we're like, oh, some of us dodged a bullet there, you know? None more than Huff, perhaps. But we thought it might be good for a little equal time, if that was all right with you. So you guys know Jen, and we know Jen. And Jen mentioned even tonight that she's not really a morning person. And she's like really not a morning person. We go on retreats as a staff team to plan and to play and honestly to fall more in love with each other. We believe that Kate had said that Jesus reveals, where's Kate? Kate Stevens, in community. Jesus reveals himself in community. And he does. And the same thing's true on the team. And so we play a lot together. We go to this beautiful house and we stay there. And I remember one morning, we got up, you know, and people are just kind of waking up. We're going to have a meeting in, you know, a half hour. And Jen sits down at this counter, like about here. And then somebody comes and just sits down next to her to have breakfast. And Jen just real quiet, just picks up her bowl. And she walks like way over here and sits down at this table. Well, then a few minutes later, like, you know, more people wake up, more of the staff team wakes up, and they all come and they sit down at the table and join her. And she just real quietly just gets up, takes her bowl, and goes back, and sits down at the counter. Jen is not a morning person. But as the day wears on, she warms up and becomes very lovely and loving and enjoys community, and we enjoy her very much. And we are really going to miss her. We're going to miss her terribly. And we don't want you to forget us. We hope that you won't. We have a gift for you. Let me get that for you. A gift for you, Jen. Lest you forget, dear old state, this is for you.
Beautiful.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
And we will not forget you. And we want to say goodbye to you and pray for you. But I'll tell you this, for the rest of us here that have words you want to share with Jen, we're going to be having a reception this evening at Irving's, just down, you know, on College Ave on Irving's, right after crew. And so we'd love you to join us and run down there and to have a chance to say goodbye to Jen. So,
can I say something?
Oh, please,
before you
yeah.
Pray? I just want to say thank you. I could have cried too. But I have loved, I think this senior class is the first class that I've spent all 4 years with, because I've been here about 4.5 years. And so it's a delight to watch you graduate and to hear the way that God has worked in your life and to know that I got to participate in that. And it's a delight to know that you juniors and sophomores and freshmen will be up here in a few years saying the same thing, and that you'll be well taken care of. So just, I don't know, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity and I love my staff team, and so it's going to be really hard to say goodbye. But, so thanks.
Indeed. Well, let me pray for Jen. Join me as we do. Lord, we do. We pray for Jen. We thank you that you brought her to us, and that for these last several years we've had so much benefit from her love and her service, and really this last couple of years as she has led with me her leadership of this movement. Lord, I thank you for the ways that you've gifted her. I thank you for the experiences you brought her through, even what you talked about tonight as you used Laura to lead her to really a deep understanding of who you are, to fall more in love with you, to ultimately decide to serve you full time and to do so with us. God, I thank you that you've called her to this next step, this next stage, and as deep of a hole as she will leave here, I'm confident that it's the right thing. That the new spheres of leadership, the new opportunities for influence and benefit that she's going to bring to the region as a whole, and even to the country as she leads, even at a national level, is significant and right and good. Jesus, I pray that you'd bless her in that her time in her next next mission that you've called her to will be good for her. Great.
The talk you have just listened to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. Crew is a community where the gospel captures hearts, transforms lives, and launches men and women into a lifelong adventure with Jesus Christ. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org. That's PennStateCRU.org. This talk is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. You are free to copy and distribute this talk to others as long as you do not do it for commercial purposes or alter, transform, or build upon this talk in any way.